From Midtown Studios at Allied Headquarters, this is the Allied Angle, where we take an in-depth look at current market trends with industry experts. I'm your host, Amber Guthrie with Allied Solutions. Coming up, massive changes and the future impact of AI on mortgage and LPI. Next on the Allied Angle. Welcome to the Allied Angle, your auditory complement to Allied Solutions e-newsletter, Allied Insights. Today, I'm talking with Jason Sweeney, Allied's Senior Vice President, Real Estate Solutions Group. Jason, thanks so much for making the journey in to talk with us today.
Thank you, Amber.
As the Senior Vice President of the Real Estate Solutions Group at Allied Solutions, Jason leads the Real Estate Risk Mitigation Service sales team and helped pioneer Allied's first-to-market proprietary solution for risk monitoring of the insurance requirements for both residential and commercial portfolios. Shoo, that's already a mouthful. Jason has over 20 years of experience in mortgage and capital markets, giving him broad and deep technical expertise in the field. Jason lives in Maryland with his family and in his free time enjoys sailing in the Chesapeake Bay and spending time at the beach in Fenwick Island, Delaware. Jason, that sounds amazing. You must love it there.
I do. It's a good place to live. Easy to commute out of there as well.
Oh, I bet. But before we get too deep, let's get to know you a little bit better. You've heard of rapid fire questions, I'm sure.
I have.
Are you nervous now that I said that?
Very.
Well, keeping with our A theme, this is what I'm calling the Allied Angle Accelerated Q&A. Jason, are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. Number one, what's your favorite word?
Syzygy. It's Latin for alignment. I really like organization.
Say that 10 times fast.
Not going to do that.
Okay.
May say something inappropriate.
Number two, do you have any hidden talents?
I'm an avid sailor. I taught windsurfing in college. I love going sailing with my family. I actually even did some regattas for the Special Olympics in college as well. It was some of the best times of my life.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Number three, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Anything Bon Jovi.
Living on a Prayer and go. I'm kidding. Number four, what was your last impulse buy?
An electric bike for my son. He needed it.
Is he using it?
I'm using it a little more than him.
Okay, somebody's using it. That's okay. And last, dogs or cats?
Dogs, of course.
Breed?
I like boxers.
Okay, I've had a boxers.
Yeah.
They're cute. All right, let's dive in. So question number one here. You have been in the LPI space for 23-ish years now.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen plenty of highs and lows and everything in between. What brought you into the industry? Why are you still here? And what has changed the most since your first day on the job?
What brought me into the industry is pure chance. I was working for a mortgage insurance firm in 2007 that unfortunately met its demise and had to go into runoff. I had a headhunter contact me and asked me if I wanted to interview with a firm that worked in lender-placed insurance. That was a foreign entity to me at the time. But I fell in, and in 2009, I started working in this space, and it's been a good run ever since. What's changed the most, though? That's an intriguing question. I would say that what hasn't changed has me the most perplexed and the most interested in trying to evolve. I think the most glaring aspect of this space is that the GSEs, the CFPB, the OCC, the FDIC, the NCUA, I could go on with every acronym under the sun, requires communication to members or borrowers on their insurance status if it's in question. And that correspondence is done in a very archaic way through first class mail. We can't track that. Mm-hmm. We can't see if someone's opened it. We are really at the mercy of the U.S. Postal Service to even make sure that it's been delivered. So what I am really hoping to see is that we start to really embrace the utilization of better communication tactics. And that's going to probably be something that, you know, here at Allied, we're working on right now. And we have really deployed, but I'm starting to see the dominoes fall and other providers in this space, and nothing makes me happier. The false placement is the most disruptive component to a borrower's venture in owning a home. Being false placed is one of the most frustrating aspects, and if we could minimize that through better communication tactics, that would be fantastic. The second evolution that I have seen occur, when I first started in this space, it was a race to the bottom. Can you get me the cheapest rates and the cheapest service, as far as the tracking goes, possible? how low can you make this priced? And I'm seeing a drastic change from lenders that are starting to realize that you do get what you pay for. Now, yes, we've evolved quite a bit behind the scenes, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that today. But if you are not really paying an appropriate cost to get the right service in anything that we're doing, not just tracking the insurance status, but anything at all when it comes to the servicing aspect of a mortgage, you're going to realize it pretty quickly. So I'm starting to see an evolution of people saying, I want the right service for an appropriate price. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't want to pay through the nose, but those days of racing to the bottom, I'm starting to see diminish, and that's very important to me.
So people are more shifting to kind of that quality over quantity mindset.
Yes, and that is a drastic shift from when I first started. And then on top of that, when I first started, we did compete on the rate level. I could go to a carrier and say, here's my volume, here's my loss ratio, can you give me a bit of a lower rate? Well, the states have stepped in, and they've really leveled the playing field in that space. Yes, we're seeing some rate increases in certain high-risk states through certain carriers, which is, you know, that's got to happen. We're seeing some rather large cat events occurring, and you have to be able to offset those perils. But for the most part, rates are relatively flat amongst carriers, which has really leveled the playing field to really focus in from a provider standpoint of how can we give the best service.
Mm-hmm. So, Jason, what's caused this shift?
It has to do with the borrower member experience. We've all heard in the industry, every single provider out there say that they have the most member-centric, most borrower-centric program possible. It's a cliche. We really mean it here at Allied. We actually have some really strong differentiators that make that a reality, but lenders are realizing they need a program that speaks to their borrowers, to their members, to effectively mitigate false placement, which in turn creates a very negative borrower experience. Mm-hmm. So again, going back to the best deployment of the communication, which is going to be a redundant theme throughout this conversation, it's very important that we don't just rely on first-class mail.
So mortgage and LPI have been making some pretty big news recently with mergers and acquisitions, massive portfolio transfers, bank failures, et cetera. What kind of effects do you foresee the industry seeing from these impacts?
Sure. It's an inevitable conclusion to what I personally believe is too long of a period of artificially low rates. Cost of funds has been very low for many years up until now, and then we see a race upwards. So what is the effect of this? You do have certain outliers of balance sheets that were probably not the most prudent of underwriting. I think is the fairest way to say it. In my opinion, that's rare. Especially in the credit union space, they're very conservative. There are the banks that we've heard about, but the bottom line is as cost of funds rise, as all of the aspects of servicing, not just the mortgage portfolio, but all aspects of their portfolio, every asset on balance sheet has become more complex. It's become more highly regulated, and that's costly. So the most valuable asset on any lender's books is the MSR asset, the mortgage asset. Mm-hmm. So step one is going to be M&A. I'm going to either merge or sell this portfolio to be able to structurally keep it afloat. It's very important that these lenders have the capability of trading these assets or finding outlets to be able to merge. We are going to see more M&A activity. It will continue for the foreseeable future. There's been a lot of independent lenders out there in the industry, many of which are shuttering up. Now, banks and credit unions' cost of funds are lower, but it's still going up for everyone. Mm-hmm. So shifting these assets around, seeing the portfolios either transfer or seeing these lenders actually merge with other entities, I think is a little overdue and is going to be very important that we see the regulatory ease to allow this to occur seamlessly.
I'm sure these large portfolio transfers pose some sort of risk when it comes to handling data, such as potential unexpected break in LPI coverage. Is there a way for lenders to make sure their data is transferred accurately and in a timely manner to prevent this?
When you're doing any type of asset transfer, the onboarding of those loans is always riddled with issues. The data never transfers the way that you would ideally prefer it to. So There are some lenders out there that have perfected this, but there's many that are, this is their first rodeo. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that they've done a transfer or any type of M&A activity. So to come in with the right mindset that your portfolio is growing, that before perhaps we tracked the insurance in-house, but now we just did some acquisitions, perhaps now we should start looking at an outsourced provider is going to become more prevalent. Now, what happens when you transfer is missing data or undefined fields of data that were perhaps haphazardly utilized by whoever was originating those loans, which means inconsistencies. Some of those inconsistencies are the insurance information, some of which is what we live in day to day. So how can we utilize technology to find this missing insurance data and avoid lettering, going straight to a letter cycle? Mm-hmm. Here at Allied, we've really deployed a lot of AWV or automated web verification technology to really deploy a method to search for this information, feed it back to the lender, and try to clean up as much as we can. Unfortunately, we're not magicians. There is no silver bullet to this. We sometimes do have to go to a lettering cycle and get involved with the borrower to figure out what is their insurance status. That is going to cause disruption. Mm-hmm. And just to level set anyone's expectations that just doing M&A, you're going to get people that will say to them, I've never been asked this question before. I've had my loan with X for many years. Why am I just now being asked this question? And it's simply due to the fact that we don't have your insurance information. It didn't come over in a really true manner. Mm-hmm. So what's really important is that the lenders are transparent with their client. If they're using an outsourced provider, let the outsourced provider do the work. Every single time a lender gets involved, that's great. I know they really want to help. But it's very important that allowing a firm like Allied to really utilize all of the technology that we've built through all of the years for all the millions of loans that we track, do the job. When those calls come in to the credit union or to the banks from the borrowers asking about their insurance status, transfer it to your outsource provider. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do the work for them. There's a reason why you're outsourcing. You shouldn't be half outsourcing. It's either all in or you're not. And it's something that we advocate day in and day out is let my team or your outsource provider, if it's not Allied, do the work. And it'll help clean it up. We've seen plenty of times that lenders are caught off guard by the unexpected noise when transfers occur. Level setting those expectations for the frontline staff, mm-hmm. those tellers that are working the frontline with those members and borrowers, communication out to those borrowers outside of the mandated language. It's just really prudent to really go through and expect some noise and realize you can't just flip a switch.
Right. It's a process. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a partner. Let your partner be your partner.
You got it.
Recently, during a keynote presentation at NAFQ's Engage 2023 conference, Allied CEO Pete Hilger touched on how embracing digital tools now and moving forward is so, so critical, especially if you're trying to reach millennials and Gen Z. With that in mind, how can providers in the insurance tracking space utilize more technology to improve their processes to help mitigate issues such as false placements mm-hmm. by reaching the customer that typically only responds on their devices?
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking this question. This one is near and dear to me. And this is why I'm so happy to be part of Allied. We've really embraced this right here. Mm-hmm. So you're going to hear me geek out a little bit on
this one.
So I'm going to start with the more basic components that are really important to our actual tracking department, not as much to the communication components, but we've really deployed automated web verification technology. You're going to hear acronyms such as EDI, Electronic Data Interchange, AWV, Automated Web Verification. We're using APIs. Can't remember what that one stands for, but it's a great communication channel to be able to grab insurance from the ether and all the different channels out there without having to bother the borrowers. It's really important that we leverage this technology to be able to avoid not just lettering, but avoid the false placement. This will also cut down on our cost to track these loans. If we can avoid sending out those letters altogether, we're saving. In fact, all three parties in this equation will save. You have the borrower not getting false plays, not getting bothered by letters that are for unnecessary reasons. They probably have good insurance. In fact, 99% of borrowers do. The provider in the space is winning because they're not having to send out all these correspondences that reduce the cost to track a loan. And inevitably, the reduction in noise from those instances helps the lenders. So trying to utilize different electronic means to stop that chain of events from occurring early on is critical. Now, here at Allied, we've embraced all of that. And for the most part, a good chunk of the industry also has. But it's more so than that. It's no secret that I have personal issue with the communication styles to the borrowers. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think it's critical that providers in this space really start stepping up the game. The only mandate is the CFPB language in a first-class mailing. But there are much better ways to get this done. And what we've deployed here at Allied, I'm very proud of. It's so much more than just relying on first-class mail. We are starting with text messaging to the borrowers. And if you look at the average age of your borrowers out there in the credit union space, I want to say it's 48. In the bank space, it's slightly under that. Not one of those people in that population doesn't have a cell phone. Why are we not utilizing text messaging?
Right.
Now, the first thing that comes to anybody in compliance's mind is, well, if I start texting these borrowers, am I going to run into any TCPA issues? Allied takes care of that, and I'm sure any provider in this space would as well. But if we look back at the root of TCPA, it was generated on the sale of a product on top of a communication without authorization in the day and age that we had to pay for our texts. Those days don't exist. I don't know anyone that has a plan anymore that actually pays for their text messages.
They're 10 cents per.
Exactly. So going through the proper compliance, which your provider should be able to do for you, and allowing you to send out a text message to augment those first-class mailings is critical. Beyond that, it shouldn't just be a message to respond to the letter. It should be a self-cure methodology that I can click on my phone and be able to log in. And at least here at Allied, you could just take a picture of your deck page, and that'll start us doing the detective work behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Many times when people are changing carriers, not all the right information is translated by that agent. They may have the wrong mortgagee. They may have the wrong entity altogether of who their mortgage holder is. So we're not magicians. Like I said earlier, we do have to do some detective work. So with some basic information provided by the borrower through that text message, which they could respond to on their smartphone, allows us to get the ball rolling. Now, there's a third component to this, and this is what I like to refer to as reach and repeat marketing. So if I'm a borrower, or if I'm a member, and I receive a communication in the mail, and I'm saying to myself, I have good insurance. This isn't for me. Must be trying to sell me something. Let's throw in the garbage. A very large percentage of borrowers do that. But a few days later, they get a text message. And then maybe they get a letter too. It's kind of like when you're driving down the road and you see the sign on the side of the road for Dunkin' Donuts. And then you hear the ad on the radio for Dunkin' Donuts. And then you drive and you see the store on the side of the road. And lo and behold, you want coffee. Well, I'm deploying that same psychological approach to this. Mm-hmm. If we can have that reach and repeat marketing, the borrower's going to start saying, okay, I got that letter in the mail. I got this text message. Maybe I should actually give them a call. We've been doing it for years here at Allied, and I'm starting to see an industry shift there. But I'm going to take it one step further. I would say that almost everyone in that demographic that we've talked about, the average age of a credit union member or a bank borrower, also subscribes to mobile banking. And if you are a borrower and you're suspicious of communication, you may not trust a text. You probably aren't trusting email. And you're more than likely thinking that letter is some sort of sales tactic. Mm-hmm. But if I get a message in my mobile banking center, and we can create an API to send that message to there, nothing's more solid than that. Mm-hmm. And so that is the industry evolution that I would like to see occur. Now, all of these methods I've lined up from email to that API are trackable. I could see when someone's opened it. I could see when they've abandoned the exercise and how I can improve that experience over time. I'm able to really take out of the equation the question of, did that borrower receive that correspondence? And now with that first-class mailing, I have no idea. I have no idea if they've opened it, trashed it, or if they even got it. But all these other methods that I've listed out are trackable, and all of that data is very usable to be able to improve that experience over time. So I'm hoping that in time that we see the GSEs, the CFPB, and all the different regulatory bodies embrace this as an alternative communication tactics. So that's a long-winded answer to your question, but hopefully okay. It gets the point.
No, that's good. So I want to touch on what I consider to be the word or words of the last year, artificial intelligence. So AI has quickly infiltrated every industry, and a lot of companies are investing to improve their own products and services. How do you think AI will impact LPI tracking programs, and where do you think it will not be a fit?
Sure. Great question. Here at Allied, it's already deployed and has been for quite a while. It started out being titled as OCR, Optical Character Recognition. And back then, when we utilized OCR, when I first started in this industry, it was a measured type of scanning where 4 inches down and 3 inches to the left was more than likely where that policy number was at. So we're going to capture that number, and we think that's probably going to be where the policy number is and start that matching component. Well, those days are gone. Our OCR is no longer OCR. It's AI, and it has been for a while. It's reading that entire document, and it applies what I like to refer to as fuzzy logic and says, okay, in the system of record, it's saying first FIRST street, but here on the document, it has 1ST. It'll still connect the dots. That's where AI is really starting to see a big shift, where we're starting to deploy behind the scenes, and we have, again, for quite some time, very strong technology to be able to match these documents in a more efficient manner, a more cost-effective manner, which helps everyone if we could reduce these costs. And it's really helping tremendously in making sure that we don't have a lot of FTE involvement. It's no secret that when you apply technology, you take out the human question, the possibility for error. And when we're keying, I could easily, what I like to refer to as fat finger something or miskey something. And as you deploy AI, it can really help mitigate those issues. Now, there's another side to this coin that I'm still not sold on. Now, I may be in the minority here, but AI, when it comes to this chat feature, that's good. I like that. If someone's going to utilize a chat bot, that's fine, as long as it's effective.
Right.
And the borrower should have the ability to abandon that to get to a live agent. I really think that's important.
Yeah.
But what I don't like, and I'm starting to see, is what used to be called IVR, intelligent voice recognition. Just say what you're talking, and then I will figure out what you're referring to. If I'm a borrower, and I've received a letter in the mail for something that I know is wrong, I have good insurance, and I have to go talk to a robot that can't really still understand what I'm saying, I'm frustrated. And by the time I fight through that system and get to that live agent, I'm angry. That's not a fun experience for that end user at the provider. They don't want their call center receiving people that are upset. These borrowers deserve to have methodologies of communication, in my opinion, that if they really want to talk to a person, they should be able to. Nothing frustrates me personally more than getting stuck in a phone tree or talking to an IVR system that is not intelligent. I'm still not sold that that technology is there, and I know that there's going to be my critics out there that disagree with me. But in this instance, I'm still not 100% there to say that AI can be used in a call center environment voice-to-voice. I think we're going that direction, and we're certainly seeing that in the chat components. It is getting much smarter. But I'm still not sold on voice. So hopefully we get there within the next 6 to 9 months or beyond. I've been told that it's on the horizon, but time will tell.
It changes every day.
Right.
Now, Jason, tell me if I'm wrong here, but the proverbial elephant in the room right now when it comes to big, huge industry news is that of insurance carriers pulling out of states like Florida, California, Louisiana. We all know these states are notorious for huge catastrophic events and natural disasters, which obviously equals a big payout from the insurance companies when disaster hits. It seems to change daily, but as of this particular recording, AAA and Farmers have both joined a handful of major insurers to pull out of Florida, affecting over 100,000 policies, and Farmers is now also limiting new home policies in California, all of this, due to reportedly managing their own risks. Now, there seems to be a lot of layers of potential issues with this that I honestly don't even know where to start. I mean, is this a temporary thing? How will people be able to buy and sell homes? I don't even want to touch on what foreclosures are going to look like, especially in Florida. But to drill down to it, what's going to happen in the LPI market for lenders in these high-risk areas?
Sure. This is concerning for everyone. It is very difficult specifically to get certain types of insurance through the standard channels in high-risk, high-disaster-prone areas, Florida and California being on the front lines. And that's for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Significant catastrophic events, and every single time one occurs, it becomes the most costly in history. And I'm probably going to see that happen here in fall when hurricane season hits again.
Right.
It cannot sustain. Loss ratios have to be maintained. So I understand the reasoning and the causation. What I don't know is how it's going to be mitigated at the direct carrier level for the borrowers. What I do know is that many people, or at least temporarily, are probably going to see lender placement as their only outlet above and beyond the state insurance funds, which is fine. But it's already expensive. And I can tell you this, many carriers are already starting to raise rates in these high disaster prone areas. It is tracking to be unaffordable. And there's kind of a bit of a conundrum there that I don't think anyone has the right answer to just yet. Again, we have to maintain prudent loss ratios, but at the same time, we have to stay solvent enough to be able to pay our claims. And if we're seeing losses exceed that, then that's a problem. So there is no magic bullet to this. What I do need to have everyone out there to really expect is that this will continue. Mm-hmm. There's going to be more carriers. There's only a handful left still in Florida. We simply just need to do our best to communicate to borrowers, help the members and the borrowers find different insurance outlets. But unfortunately, at this time, there is no good answer to that question. But what I can assure you is that carrier rates on the lender place side will start going up. And I'm predicting anywhere between 20 to 40% increase in those rates in those high disaster prone areas. As more and more people become lender placed and more events occur, more losses will occur. It's not a cornucopia of funds. And there has to be a way to maintain that loss ratio again. Unfortunately, I don't have a good remedy, or I'd be out working on that right now. But I am confident that there are some very smart people in this industry that I know are working on this right now. And I do see some of these carriers coming back into these areas when we can renormalize how these catastrophic events are dealt with.
Before we wind down here, can you give me your best psychic reading on where you see the mortgage and LPI industry in 5 years? And how should a company like Allied plan to position itself to handle these changes?
Great question. It's going to be two answers. So there's two optics on this. The first is going to be your service expectations. And we've already talked about this already. I'll be a little bit redundant and say it again. It's no longer a race to the bottom. It's being very proactive with the borrowers and the members, finding the insurance before we false place, mm-hmm. and doing everything we can to mitigate that. There is a cost to doing that right, and Allied has done a phenomenal job in reducing our costs by leveraging technology and all the stuff that we've talked about. But I am going to see positively the entire industry do other mitigating components as well. There will no longer be the complacency of, I'm just going to let the letters do the job. Mm-hmm. And the second is going to be the compliance expectations. Now, we're already seeing this now. The regulators are now really laser focused, specifically on flood, to be able to find out how it was tracked, what's been force placed and when, and was it properly done. I see that stepping up for a multitude of reasons. One, the originations have slowed down. And they will be slow for quite a while. As rates rise, it's a natural evolution. Mm-hmm. And so if the regulators aren't as focused on the origination component, they have to be focused somewhere. They're going to be focused on the servicing aspect. So it only makes sense that you're going to see a stronger emphasis on the compliance and the regulation. And now that data is more prevalent and easily obtained, asking for more is probably going to be more of the norm. So what's very important is that the lenders have access to all of their information in real time and not have to be reliant on their provider or a service rep to be able to grab this information. Something I'm very proud of is that we have very easy abilities for our lenders to be able to log in and see their data themselves. And many providers have that available, but not everyone. I'm confident that that will be mandatory in the near future, that the regulators may even step in to make transparent information out there. And that may even carry over to the borrower's experience. We're starting to deploy this now here at Allied, where we're looking at putting together some good functionality so there's a good transparency for the borrowers themselves and what's occurred. How has their tracking provider and the lender done everything they can before outreach, showing them that chain of events ahead of time? And in a borrower's head, if they get that letter in the mail, they probably assume, and I don't blame them, that, well, we've not done anything until now, and this is our first step. Mm-hmm. Well, let's show them the work that we've done, that we've made multiple attempts to look for this information, and having that transparency out there from a compliance standpoint may become mandatory. Fortunately, we're well ahead of the game here on that component if that does come to fruition. But I do see that becoming more of the expected future.
Well, Jason, all of that has been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Before you go, though, one more rapid fire for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Give us your best dad joke.
Okay. This one's from my daughter, and she's about to turn 4. But she asked me. So this isn't really a dad joke, but it's my favorite joke. Because it's my daughter.
We'll take kid joke. That's fine. Yeah.
Says, how do you make a tissue dance, Daddy?
How?
You put a little boogie in it.
Aw, perfect. I love it. Well, Jason, thanks again.